Sid Fernando joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Sid, I wish you were here. When was the last time you were out here, out of curiosity?
Well, I was out there last year. I hung out with you and Roger Lyons.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that was Churchill, though. That was Churchill. But how about out to California?
Was that Churchill? Oh, yeah. It was the year before when Forever and Broadly won.
Oh, that was, what was that, at Del Mar?
Yeah, that's right. That was Del Mar, yeah.
Del Mar.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. Yeah. Well, it today is the first day, honestly, that it feels like the energy level has picked up and sort of the excitement, the electricity factor. Number of horsemen from out of town now in with the horses that have to be on the grounds by Tuesday, and there's more people that are going to come to the races tomorrow and through the weekend. So after really a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday that seemed a little subdued, I think things are starting to ratchet up, and certainly after you get the draw, you can start to really really dig in. And you were digging in anyway because with the sale coming up, the bloodstock sale next week, I saw that piece you wrote about LaForce, and there's actually a couple of people, including Brad Free, who felt that LaForce could end up snaring something in that distaff. But you were talking about her German breeding, and I want to invite people to make sure that they seek that out.
Yeah, and I agree with Free too. I think the filly, the mare, can has a good chance to get a piece of it. She's got a very European pedigree, obviously, and not just the German part to it, which is from her German bred dam by the German Derby winner Samum, son of the outstanding German sire Monson. But on the top side, it's Power, Oasis Dream, who's an outstanding stallion, all the way back to going back to Danzig on the European side of things. But it's interesting that, people talk about, the European pedigree, can they run on dirt? Well, here's the mare that's proving it. She's been running on dirt. And by all accounts, she's a top filly, missed being a grade one winner, but has defeated grade one winners, run great against grade one winners, and she goes out in this race and gets sold the following week. And probably the Japanese will buy her because they love German mares.
And I kind of made a reference, I don't know if you were listening right at the beginning of the show when I was laying out the lineup, and I mentioned back to a Breeders' Cup discussion with Alan Schuback from the forum, and Alan jumped down my throat when I made that that classic alleged axiom that German horses love it soft, and Alan, nothing sets him off like that, because he said that's an old wives' tale. They don't like it any more soft than any other kind of sires and pedigree lines. And he said, don't ever say that again. And he was all over me. It was great.
Yeah.
But what That's explain funny. explain the I don't know if you want to call it a Dynaformer or King Mambo-esque kind of rawness and hardiness. That's the word I kept coming back to. But that's what the reputation is anyway for what a German blood does.
Yeah, I mean, it's very stern is the best way to it's been described, and this is something that Europeans, the Yoshidas in Japan at Shaddai, fully aware of its stamina oriented. The German mares, the bloodlines, tend to reinforce a lot of stoutness in a horse. And, in this country, people really didn't get a taste of that, Steve, or didn't get fully immersed in it until Animal Kingdom won the Derby, and he was out of Dalisia, a German-bred dam. And suddenly, you know, people here became aware of that type of breeding. And over the years since then, since about 10, 12 years, there's always been a few German mares in the sales. They've always sold well. The Yoshida brothers have picked up several of them. There've only been a handful. But the main characteristic is they do like stamina. So in Japan, that's obviously something that is part of the breeding program in Japan. So it makes sense for them to get that type of horse. You know, even here, and you'll remember this right now, the two grading winners this year for Live Oak Plantation from the same mare, Davaron. Mrs. Weber bought that mare, you know, paid a lot of money for that mare, and she's rewarded her with like Global Access, and the other one, March to the Arch. Both turf winners here, and you know, graded stakes winners. So a mare like La Force that Lane's End is selling, I think you know, the pedigree up front in a lot of these mares might not be huge, but there's enough pedigree there, and it traces back to a very good mare. And a lot of these types of mares create their own pedigrees as they mix with other bloodlines.
Well, we've got plenty of mix and match and bloodlines to consider in this Breeders' Cup, Sid. And as always, you know, we get to this juncture, and I kind of turn it over to you, and you know, you've sifted through the lineups and have come up undoubtedly with some pedigree plays. So I'll ask you, where do you want to go? Where do you want to start?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the horses that I do like, I'm just trying to, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. If you go there, Steve, bad post position, but the, and it's interesting when you look through this, by the way, Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf, eighth race, right, Friday. Look at the sires in this. The first, Living in the Past, is by Bungle in the Jungle, European. The second horse is by Dandy Man, European. Third horse is No Name Never, a European sire, obviously, right here. Blame has won. Then you get Bated Breath, another European sire. Muharar, European. Malice breaks it up. No Name Never again. Zophany, European. Street Boss, U.S., Spikestein, U.S., American Pharaoh, More Than Ready, and then Warfront, who's based here, obviously, but is very familiar in Europe, where he's a favorite. And I'll tell you, the horse I do like here is that Warfront, Etoile. Aidan O'Brien, Frankie Dettori rides. Running on Lasix for the first time, bet on that Great Cross, which is Warfront, in this case Sadler as well. You've seen a lot of Warfront Galileo. It's something that Coolmore does. If you notice the breeder, Orpindale, Charleston, Wynat, that's a Coolmore breeding partnership of John Fagnier's. And this filly was considered so highly by Aidan O'Brien that she made her debut in a Group 3 race in May. Something happened. She was off for a really long time, 5 months or so. Just came back last month. And what does he do? He puts her, brings her back in the Cheveley Park Group 1, okay? And Donica O'Brien rode. She was short. That's the only way you can describe it, after 5 months away. And was only really beaten five and a half lengths for everything in that race. The fourth in that race, by the way, is Tango, that Ryan Moore is riding. She came back subsequently, Tango, to win a race, a listed race, by 6 lengths. This race is at a flat mile, and the European form, really, a 6 furlong race, filly there is going to make a mile here. It's that Warfront bad post, but Frankie Dettori loves to try to beat Ryan Moore. He's got a shot in the same stable this time for Aidan O'Brien, and I think this filly needed the last race. She's 12-1 morning line, and I think she's probably set up for this race pretty well.
I like it. All right, and because I brought her up actually with Kelly Riley, and Nick Luck is going to join us in a little bit as well, and I'm very curious because there's certain outfits. I think O'Brien has. In fact, Andy Serling said it yesterday, and he has a tendency to maybe throw a lot up against the wall, and bring a bunch over. But they all have something. There's something about all of them that makes sense. So,
yeah, that's right, and that is true with what he does and what they've said. But one of the things when you look on this, and when you do look into the. You use a pedigree, and pedigree can be used best, I think, in obviously young horses and turf. It gives you a great opportunity for that. And one of the things, Steve, that this filly has is the sire Warfront. That's a Danzig line. They like to hear their feet rattle. In other words, they like firm ground. And they like firm ground. If you look at a lot of these Europeans coming over, and especially through the sires, they're running on good soft, or yielding surfaces. You're going to get firm ground out there. It's going to be sharp. And you take that pedigree into it. Trust me, there's plenty of stamina behind this mare. The dam... Gagnola, just by being by Sadler as well to begin with,
mm-hmm.
but you take into account that this filly was second in the French Oaks, Gagnola. She's a group winner, and she was also third in the Irish Oaks. It's from the immediate family of Epsom Derby winner or moi. There's plenty of stamina behind it, so you don't have to worry about that. And she's a lightly raced filly. And if you were gonna take a shot with firm ground and more front and a horse that you obviously only run in group races and 2 starts. Why not take a shot here? First time waiting. Yeah.
All right. What's next?
Well, the other thing I'd like to point out is if we go to the other turf race, which is race number 6, Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. This race, unlike the one I just mentioned to you. There's a no-name never from Europe. And two no-name numbers from Europe. However, everybody else is an American sire, which is pretty astounding, you know. Or I should say, stood in America, because one of the horses, one of the stallions here is well represented, has stood at Ashford, no longer there, in Japan, a declaration of war. He's got, what, three in this race.
Right.
Peace achieved. Who's won the Grade Three Bourbon. This Grade One Summer winner, Decorated Invader, and
War Beast.
You know, War Beast, yeah. Who's was second in the Zuma Beach. That's pretty darn good representation. He, of course, is the son of Warfront, European race. I think that in this particular race, I think you could take a stab with Fort Myers at 12-1 again, in my opinion. Wayne Lorden rides for Aidan O'Brien. You know, they're throwing everything at the wall here, but No Name Never, Second Crop, Fort Myers, once again, Warfront, bred on that same cross as I mentioned to you with Etois, Warfront, Galileo, and exactly the same kind of reasoning, pedigree-wise. This horse is coming off a win. Of course, he's the least likely, and so Wayne Lorden gets the mount, but Wayne Lorden has pulled a surprise against Better Thought Stable Mates before. And again, at a price, first-time Lasix, looking really at that firm track, and I think the Warfronts really act on it, like with Etois. Don't like the post position, but you know, you take a shot with riders like Vittori on the other one, who can really has the incentive to do something, and is riding lights out. And Lorden, who's given the crumbs in the stable and always seems to occasionally pull one out.
That's true.
At a big price. Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because the horse came up earlier with Kelly Riley, and I didn't get a chance to mention Jamie Spencer riding. That was on Shaden. And, you know, Spencer has come very close, of course, including on New York. For goodness sakes, Star of New York. What is wrong with me?
This is like our Daredevil thing from last week.
Yeah, exactly. That was funny.
Was it Lines of Battle?
No, New York. The Toast of New York.
Toast of New York.
But Lorden, you know, Lorden has ridden. What's interesting about Lorden's experience in the Breeders' Cup is that, you know, even though he's only got one board hit, and that was on So Perfect last year in the juvenile turf sprint, he has ridden horses that went on, in a lot of cases, to be good, and had, you know, plenty of things going for them. Cliffs of Moher and Happily,
exactly.
And Hunting Horn, So Perfect herself. So he's just an interesting, the backup rider, the other O'Brien jock. That's a storyline potentially in itself.
Yeah, and he's got this horse that he's riding, and Moore's on the No Name Never Arizona, and you know, at 6 furlongs, there's less than 2 lengths separating them in a Coventry. This race is at a mile. It's coming off that win. Arizona obviously. Arizona brings a line of form through the best horse in Europe, Pinatubo.
Yep.
Who's undefeated. And this horse was second, only two lengths in the Darley Dewhurst. That was on really soft ground. Okay. And No Name Ever is terrific, and I'm sure he's going to be there. They'll handle the firm ground. But he's only run on either good to the softer side of it, of soft. Whereas this horse is coming off that, I'm talking about Fort Myers now, coming off a all-weather race. And both his all-weather races, he's won. And obviously, you know, it's at the surface, it's better than soft. So with his breeding again, I look for him. And it's really amazing when you think about the number of declarations of war as we spoke in here, because he's also a son of Warfront.
Sid, let's turn to Saturday, or actually before even Saturday, anything on pedigree on the two juvenile races? And of course, we lost one of the real principals. Godolphin gets a dent in their fender with Maxfield unable to participate on Friday. But anything on the girls or boys main track?
Which races were those, Steve? Friday?
Friday, yeah. You mean, you're talking which, the juvenile fillies is the 7th, and the juvenile boys is the 9th.
Okay, so let me really quickly, the juvenile fillies, I think the horse that I really like is the Liam's Map filly, Wicked Whisper. I think I saw the Frisette, and she was very impressive in that race. They're going to get better, the Liam's Maps, as they get older. And First Crop, a win here would be huge for him, because you've got a two-way fight right now. That's another aspect to this, by the way.
American Pharoah.
American Pharoah and Constitution. But neither of those two have a horse in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. But you saw that American Pharoah has quite a few in the turf races. It's really leaving Constitution as the odd man out. He's got the one horse, Our Country,
In the turf for George.
Yeah, Weaver. The George Weaver horse. May have a shot to pick up some money, because that horse has had some rough luck in a lot of races, and he's only a length off instructor. So
if he can stay composed.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Very good. And so this win here, if Wicked Whisper for Liam's Map were to take this, it's going to put Liam's Map right there at the top, depending on how the American Pharoahs do. So that's an interesting part of it. But at any rate, that's a filly. That's the filly that I do like in that race. And in the Colts race, which was race number 9, Sky Kingdom is the only freshman sire represented. That's Wrecking Crew. Everybody else, a proven sire. For me, Steve, it's a shame with obviously what happened to Maxfield. I'll tell you something about the Spikestown. There's several young Spikestowns running, but Spikestown has yet to get a Grade 1 winner before June of his 3-year-old year. Now, there's always exceptions.
That, That's amazing, actually, when you would, when I think if you took a snapshot or a survey and you said to people about being precocious, that Spikestown would fill that, would fill that definition. And yet that's notable. Of course, the grade one opportunities. Well, there's grade one opportunities at 7/8. You would think a Spikestown would have won a Champagne or a Frisette by now.
That's exactly right. There's plenty of grade one opportunities, and yet they haven't done it before June of their three-year-old year. And he's had a lot of stud career already. He's not a spring chicken. So, if we have, there's always, there can be exceptions. There are exceptions to the rules, but that's something to keep in mind. And one of the reasons for that is Spikestown himself, even though he was a sprinter, was a late developing horse, didn't get good till he was 5 and 6. And that trait comes out even if they're fast. So what I've always told people to Spikestown, a lot of people they're looking for classic horses, and they buy Spikestown looking for classic horses because, grafted to stamina, a lot of them do stay. You've seen, he's had several horses that have won at 1¼ miles. Doesn't happen until after June of their three-year-old year because structurally, even though they're fat, they don't get it together until after the classics. But in this race, 8 rings, Son of Empire Maker, first crop back from Japan. Here's the interesting thing. He was sold to Japan. He was doing well here, but they got good money for him. Judmont, that is. Went to Japan, and he was a bomb over there. That's all turf racing, even though he did well on turf here. They didn't take to the hard turf. And another factor was probably the mares that he got there weren't as compatible as the ones he was getting here. So after, siring maybe, 3 or 4 stakes when he was there in 4 seasons or whatever, he's come back here, and in his very first crop, he has a horse on the verge of getting a championship, which just tells you how environment and pedigrees play a huge role in a stallion's success. Because imagine if he was just there without the pedigrees he got here, without the racing environment he got here, he would have been considered a dismal failure. Yeah. So anyway, he's the horse I like here.
8 rings. Let's quickly go to Saturday. Sid Fernando with us. Sire Watch. Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. And Sid, how about a classic selection? And I know you've got you do have a rooting interest. We have to qualify anything you say from here on in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? This is such a wide open race, and the rooting interest, of course, is, we have a client, Mr. Fripke, who's got Seeking the Soul. I'm real bullish for him on this race. What happened was he himself did not want to just ship into this race and race in California because he's had problems that way. He wanted to get the horse to race over the track. He brought him up for that last race, the Awesome Again. The horse got the race over the track at a distance he didn't like, pace scenario that was against him. And now at 1¼ miles, Dallas Stewart says he's training great. He was kept in California the whole time instead of shipping back to Dallas's barn at Churchill.
Exactly.
He was kept there to train over the track the entire time. And I look, with this race being fairly wide open, 1¼ miles, Mr. Fipke really is planning on running this horse next year. You know, on his good days, he can run those races like he did when he was second to City of Light.
Last year, the third mile.
Yeah. in a mile, in the dirt mile that he didn't want. Mr. Fipke wanted to get up going the mile and a quarter classic, but they wouldn't let, you know, he couldn't get in. So he settled for this race, and he still ran a bang-up race. He was really primed that day. The mile and a quarter here, I think, is going to work for him. Several of these horses, Bob Baffert has admitted what a lot of us know, that McKenzie hasn't wanted a mile and a quarter, but he thinks he can get him there. You know, a lot of pace scenario to look into, but for the 20-1, and I know Pete Fornatale was telling us you the other day that he got 33-1 on Seeking the Soul in Europe, but 20-1 will do.
Yeah, well, I also, as part of the Express Bet wagering guide, I included him as a distinct wager using the reverse tri-key concept. You know, the idea that he'll be running late, might not be able to win necessarily, but I wanted people to be aware to, you know, take the opportunity. He's the ideal kind of horse to use a reverse tri-key. You know, take four or five horses, first and second, the obvious players, and then him third. And you know, even if you get, frankly, if you get a slight upsetter, first or second, you get Yoshida involved, you know, somebody other than the obvious McKenzie, Vino, Code of Honor. If you get, you figure one of those is going to be first or second, and then, you know, higher power, Yoshida, they can jump up. Go 5 by 4 by 1 with Seeking the Soul third, and you can also bet him win place as sanity insurance. You know, should he happen to keep going and get up, to, you know, kind of Drosselmeyer style. Now, I see the same pattern. It look for those that understand form cycle and seeing patterns. Look at last year. The two races leading up to the Dirt Mile, and then look at these two races leading up to the Classic. And Seeking the Soul is on the same kind of arc to run a good race. And, you know, pretty much everybody from Brad Free on down that follow this circuit have really driven home the point that, in fact, Jerry Brown also has talked about this, that, you know, the horses that have been out here, the horses that came early, the horses that have gotten a work or two over the track probably have an advantage over those that are shipping in on, you know, top of the race. So I got no problem with Seeking the Soul as a, you know, as a major inclusion. Sid, slip in another, any one or two others?
In this race?
No, the rest of the Saturday card.
Okay, so let's, I don't want to take time away from you, but let me scroll here to the Breeders' Cup Turf. And, I think a horse I'm against here.
Okay, that works.
Is Anthony Van Dyke.
Interesting you say that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, he's over the top. He came back and he ran third to Magical last time on good ground. But young horse, he's done well, but he's the obvious one, what, 2 or 3 to 1. And obviously Bricks and Mortar is the dominant personality in this race. But the horse that I like and... I think he's going to be higher than the 4-1 as Old Persian. Son of Dubawi, you know, he's a horse that extremely consistent type of horse. Last time out, he came over here, shipped in, easily won the Northern Dancer, and you know, I think this barn is so hot right now, and I think that they're pretty, I think, you know, this combination of Appleby, Buick, for an upset. And again, I think he's going to be higher than 4-1. He's got to be with Anthony Van Dyke in it. And Bricks and Mortar at 9-5 is going to be probably lower than that. So he's the horse I like here. Dubawi, again, you know, great form. that last race, 227, that race can be a bog. It can be so soft. It was listed as good, but, you know, I think it was probably running on the faster side of good. And he handles all ground.
Well, that's part of the battle. Well, Sid, we love it, and certainly wish Mr. Fipke good luck. Steve Haskin just weighed in, by the way. Steve listening in, he'll be with us tomorrow with Lenny Shulman. But Steve notes, Sid, and of course, you and Steve working years ago at Triangle Publishing.
Yeah.
Three of Seeking the Soul's four great grandsires have run the three fastest Kentucky Derbies in history.
Wow. And don't forget the female line going all the way back to Personal Ensign.
She was good.
Yeah.
She was okay.
Not bad, right? Yeah.
Sid, this is great. Best of luck. Can't wait to do some recapping next week. It'll be my first day home. I stay here till Tuesday. And
excellent. Have a great trip out there. Is Tina out there too?
Nah, she can't come. It's just too much. It's too long of a schlep on Friday night, and then got to leave first thing Sunday morning. What's the point? It's just crazy. You know, and all I do is run around all Saturday. So she, you know, she doesn't. It's not fun for her. You know, it's tough. So. Somebody, you think being married to me is easy? It's no bargain.
No, I just remember last year when she was there and you guys were talking
Churchill,
about
Churchill's
you know,
easier.
How it's so, you know, you guys love being together. You're such a lovey-dovey couple, a great couple, and it's always great to see you guys together. So I just assumed for your sanity she would have come up.
I'd be nice. Churchill's easier.
Yeah.
Churchill gets in Friday night. Yeah, Friday night, 9 o'clock, 9:30, and from you know Southwest through
Baltimore. You guys have to put together your traveling restaurant guide
the travelog. Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you only put that up on Facebook. You don't put that on Twitter. So
I slipped one in yesterday. I slipped one in yesterday on Twitter because I had the Dark Day Daily Double. Philippe for lunch for French dip, and then right up Huntington Drive back to Alhambra for Fosselman's for ice cream. Philippe and Fosselman's. Scott Hazelton is nodding yes, and he's agreeing. Oh, yeah, all right. Sid, they're going to attack me here. All right, we'll talk to you next week. No, sit down, Billy. Come here. We'll get you in. We're going to stay right here. Scott Hazelton's next. Nick Luck is coming. You've got a window. You got a little window. Sit down for 2 minutes. All right. How can I say no to you?
My favorite thing of Breeders' Cup week.
Grab the microphone. Now leave the headset alone. Actually, Scott, I'm surprised you didn't use the microphone because the haircut.
Come on now, Big.
I like that.
That's how we're starting things off?
Well, we got to give you. Listen, if Migliori was able to join us, he'd be giving you the business.
That's true.
Give your cousin Salon a plug.
Echo in South Pasadena. If anybody needs a trim here, if you're out here for Breeders' Cup, it's on El Centro, South Pass. Look them up.
I love it.
Great,
then,
Thomas.
And then go to Heirloom Bakery. You ever go to Heirloom?
I've not. No.
Your hair does look great.
Thank you, Billy.
He's great hair.
Yeah.
Look at you.
I don't have great hair.
You have a great beard.
I call it the skunk. It's very gray, but it's been very lucky lately, Steve.
Yeah, since you've grown it, how many big races, Mirth?
Well, I grew it this summer, and we just destroyed Del Mar, and then it's just kept going. We've been very fortunate. Now we have Mirth and Secret Spice in the Breeders' Cup, and it's I'm going to keep it until probably Sunday.
Is it one of those? It's like a rally? It's like rally cap?
This is playoff beard.
It's a playoff beard.
You got to do it.
The voice of Billy Koch, everybody. And,
Thanks, Steve.
Of course, Little Red Feather, who's had a banner year.
Had a good year. It's been very lucky. We have great partners who have continued to support us, and really that's the only way to do it in this business. You gotta be with people who continue to reinvest and trust and believe in the process. And so far so good, and we've got a big couple of days coming up.
I'm gonna ask you a movie question.
Sure.
Industry question. Your grandfather and Robert Evans, any
my father.
Your father, excuse
my
me.
My father. Yes, my father is a very good friend. My father worked on Chinatown.
I was going to say, yes. I knew there
my
was.
My father has a book coming out.
Really?
Yes, it's called Magic Time. It's the story of Hawk Koch, and it's coming out, I think on my birthday, like November 17th. I'm turning 50, Steve.
I'm going to be 60, so relax.
Well, oh, I'm very. Do I seem unrelaxed? I'm excited.
No, I'm saying
about it.
Don't
ramp it up there a bit when you said 50. Yeah, right, that's sorry. Kind of.
Thank I'm you, sorry. Scott.
Okay. No,
thank
don't you. Apologize I mean, look, to me.
This is a pretty good-looking crew you got going on. You know, this is. We might want to start maybe a calendar or something.
A calendar. Like the one they did, the Barbara Livingston did
yeah,
with the jockeys.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do one with
I'm
us.
I'm not taking
shirts
my shirt
on. No,
yeah, I'm not leaving the shirt on.
No,
leaving the shirt
on for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you enjoying yourself out here?
Yes, I always do. I love coming here, obviously. And you could. I talked to Aaron Wellman yesterday about the ambient circumstances, and we discussed it. You know, going back to Big Cap Week when I was here. And also Santa Anita Derby Week, you know, the duress is palpable.
Absolutely.
And, today actually is the first day it feels like some of that has fading into the background, so that we can have a great Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I agree. I think everybody's just looking forward to this weekend. I know I was really calm yesterday, and then last night was the first time I couldn't sleep. I had my first sleepless night. I was up from like 2 to 4. And I was deciding what Netflix to watch because I just couldn't sleep. I had numbers going through my head. I was thinking about all the races. I just got really excited last night. And I think Santa Anita is going to put on quite a show.
Well, and of course, 2 o'clock is when my alarm is set because that's 5 a.m. And so I'm getting up to prepare for the show. So
you could have called. I
didn't realize we could have gone. We could have gone to DuPars or some other 24-hour coffee shop.
No, have you gone to a Peach Cafe over here in Monrovia?
Fantastic,
delicious.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's the
not
spot.
Up all night. It opens I think 7:30, but
7:30?
It's really good.
What kind of coffee shop opens at 7:30?
It's not a coffee shop. It's like
a breakfast joint.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
It's fantastic.
Peach Cafe.
What kind of breakfast joint opens at 7:30?
Highly recommend. It. This is Arcadia.
Exactly.
This is LA, bro.
This is hopeless.
Hey, bro.
This is hopeless. breakfast joints open up at like 5 a.m.
There's a Denny's right down the street.
I'm not talking. Doesn't have to be
there's
Denny's.
Donuts.
Doesn't
there's
have to
donuts.
Be Denny's. There's so many famous breakfast coffee joints in this town.
Hey, listen, I'm a big DuPars fan. I grew up on it. We had one at the Farmer's Market over on 3rd. That was I think it was the original DuPars.
I think you're right.
And the one out here is great too, though.
Well, and you mentioned the Farmer's Market. I'll give everybody a big push. You know, for those of you that are here today, for instance, or tomorrow, if you're not coming to the races, if you haven't been to the Farmer's Market and then the Grove that
grew
off of the market, it is so much fun. So much fun. And the empanada plate, that known as empanadas.
Gotta love empanadas.
Oh, my God.
It's California. No. We got good Mexican food.
Well, Johnny D, in fact, I talked to Johnny, who's in the air right now.
You have Johnny D on your show a lot. I went through your archives. Is he your kind of co-host guy?
Every Monday. Johnny has
D.
been involved with this since day one.
And sometimes I thought it was a mistake and you meant to put Johnny V.
No, Johnny. It's always some people call him Johnny Z. There's actually a very funny story that Ron Anderson will not be allowed to tell on any airwaves that involves Johnny Z. And then of course Jay Pribman calls him Johnny A, Johnny B, Johnny C, Johnny D.
Oh, I like it.
And Johnny.
By the way, how
they go
good
crazy
is,
here?
How good is Johnny V? I mean, you know what?
You know,
I mean, I read an article on something the other day that he's got, I think, 11 out of 14 mounts.
Right.
And none for Pletcher.
Well,
which I find,
Dave Rennick wrote that piece.
Yeah, which I find fascinating. I mean, he's riding three of our four horses over the weekend.
Very nice.
And I just, there's something about it. I was telling someone this morning, when you look at when you pick up the program and you see his name, there's a confidence and a calm, like you just know. If your horse is good enough, he's going to put you in the right spot, right? If you don't win the race, it's not going to be his fault, which is, I can't say that for a lot of other riders, but I'm going to
well,
keep that quiet.
It was Johnny's trip. It was Johnny's trip to Del Mar this summer.
Yeah, he won those races for us that day.
Yes, right. And that jump started his whole second, because he was blind without a cane at Saratoga the first 3-4 weeks.
He hadn't been to Del Mar since the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar.
And he won three that day. Yeah. He won Succeed and Surpass, Hambier Park, and Super Patriot on the same day, two for us.
Since then,
so
he
are you crediting me? With Johnny V's resurgence,
I hadn't thought about it, but I guess.
Can we put this on the air? I mean, it's pretty much because of us.
I will allow that if you can answer.
Yes.
Or Scott can answer. Who was Johnny Velasquez's first agent?
I feel like there should be Jeopardy music.
I was going to do that. He's a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of
but
Famer.
But not in
well,
horse
not Cordero.
Racing.
Oh, okay, because that's Angels now.
A Hall of Famer, not in horse racing.
Wow.
I couldn't even begin to guess.
No idea, Vic.
Dick Allen.
Wow.
Wow.
That's strong.
Did I just take over your whole segment?
Pretty
no,
much.
No, not at all. I mean, I've got
to just walk by.
I literally have nothing to say. I've got I really don't.
The voice of Scott Hazleton, everybody.
I am happy.
Because Billy's a steamroller.
Listen.
It's all good.
Well, did you see the
all-in
piece?
He's turning 50
piece?
This year. I got to, you know.
Did you see the all-in piece that we did for Breeders Cup All-In? Did you guys watch that?
How did you wrangle your way into that?
They asked us. I don't know, but it was really funny. And if the people who are listening have probably seen it. And there's this moment where Sheik Mo walks by, and I'm like, and I go, "Hey, I go, "What's up, Sheik Mo?" And he kind of turns his head and looks at me. And his whole contingent and Gary, my business partner, Gary looks. He goes, "Hey, I think he remembered you." I go, "I think he did too. He kind of gave me that look." And meanwhile, so Pia Rotundo with the Breeders' Cup said, "Billy, I have to send this to Dubai. Like, they're going to play this over here. Like,
right.
I think we're going to have to
fun.
Edit that out."
No, why
oh,
would you?
Yeah, no, because they're coming after me. They might be coming after me, Steve.
Well,
I mean, you don't seem as nervous as I am. I don't know if I'm more nervous about turning 50 or Sheik Mo.
Do yourself a favor. Don't visit any embassies.
Don't call him Sheik either. It's Sheik Mo. So that's probably the first mistake that you made.
Thank you, Scott.
You know?
Thank you. You know, I'm very... Very, I'm rough with names, although not as rough as poor Jim the other day in the draw. Did you see his face?
Jim.
Kasparov.
Oh, yes. Poor Jim.
Poor Jimmy.
Every time. He
and
was
Nick
beating
Luck
himself
would go,
up. Yep.
Nick Luck would just correct it. It was so funny.
Yep.
Did you see
it
Jim?
Was Valentin's, yep.
He's a good man, Jim.
He is a very good man.
All right, boys. What else we got to talk about? I'm going to go get some breakfast, unless you want me to stick around.
Do you have any Nick Luck is supposed to show up. He was supposed to be here 10 minutes ago.
I love
ago,
Nick
though.
Luck. Do you know that Nick Luck and I cooled magical? We cool. I'm sitting in the breakfast cafe 2 days ago or whenever it was, and Nick is a great guy. He always helps me with the Europeans because I like to bet a little bit. And we're sitting there, and I'm like, I really think Magical can beat Sister Charlie. He goes, yeah, I do too. And we're talking about her and talking about her. And I leave the breakfast, and then boom, she's out. So we not only did we save Johnny V's career, but we cooled Magic.
Do you see the impact that this man has?
It's just really scary.
It's just a long shadow.
Do you know his film theatrical debut? He's talking about All In, but he appeared as a child in a major
Is that right?
theatrical film.
Yeah, I was the boy who trapped in refrigerator eats own foot in an airplane.
Really?
Yes, that's my second grade picture.
When the newspapers are spinning?
That's me.
That's my favorite thing to bring up on the air.
He loves it. I have one more funny thing. So my sister is involved with Dan Blacker. She does all of Dan's work. My sister's been going to the
Where does that leave
Christine
Oliveras? Michelle, who's he married to?
No, Christina.
Christina.
No, but my sister actually works for Dan.
Okay.
She sets up all the partnerships. No. Let's not go there. We don't want to spread rumors. But they're so excited about Hit the Road in the juvenile.
And you were the reason the horse got post-15,
no,
right?
I'm not. But they were really bummed, and I was sitting there, and they kept saying, like, not 14. I'm like, you're cooling yourself. Boom, 14.
Yep.
But the best part of the story is we're sitting at Santa Anita the other day, and she looks at me, and it's like a quiet moment, and she goes, "What if we win?" And I said, "You can't say that. Like, you can't even, you can think that to yourself, but you can't say that out loud." And she goes, "What do you mean?" I said, You're cooling it. And she goes, "But you say things like this, like that. And I said, "Yeah, but people know I'm joking." You were serious.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful. The racing gods, Scotty, they're here.
Oh, I know.
And they're watching you, and they're watching every move. And you got to be really careful this week not to cool yourself. That's my advice.
That is good advice. Who do you like that is not in a race of yours?
You know, I was looking at last night. I did a lot of homework last night because I know I'm going to get busy. I like Got Stormy. I think it's a relatively paceless race for the mile. Usually there's a couple speedsters. Mm-hmm. Remember when we had Midnight Storm and Heart to Heart and all those? You know, this year you got Bolo, who I've never been a huge Bolo fan. I don't think he's the same horse he was. I love Carla, but I'm not a Bolo fan. I hate to say it. But I think she gets a really good trip. Yeah. She drew great. She's going to sit off a what I think might be a dawdling pace. I don't think the Europeans are as good as they've been in the past in that race.
That's fair.
And I think if you get 3-1, 4-1, something like that, I think she's going to be very tough. That would be my kind of key play of the day.
And you're going to get a decent price because between Uni and Circus Maximus,
absolutely,
there's going to be money gravitating in both of those directions. I agree. I think she's going to be.
I think she's just very kind of logical.
I've been a huge fan, certainly speaking of film industry,
Gary Barber.
Legends, it would be
does he ever come on your show?
Gary comes on. I got Gary on the show in probably the best circumstance ever, live from Cannes.
Wow!
When after War of Will won, we talked to him as he was going into the screening of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
He refuses to come on my podcast.
I wouldn't take it personally.
No, don't. I've known Gary for 100 years. I don't take it personally, but I just think it's great. If Michelle, you and I, who we do our podcast together, and we try to get him on every week, and he never. He's like, yeah, I can't do it this week.
It's like a running gag, actually.
Oh, it becomes now. It becomes it's like a Gary Barber's gag. Coming up next week. You know, he's not.
Well, speaking of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood,
I love that movie.
Well, I got my first Musso and Frank visit. Sunday
really?
Night.
It's pretty special, isn't it?
His privness.
Yes.
His privness. Got us.
Tribe member with me.
Mike Welch was with us as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah. The big tribe.
Andy Belfiore. We had a.
Did you like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? I loved it. Did you? You didn't see it.
When I tell you, first of all, it was out when I was blind, so it would have been an unpleasant experience to go in and see it through the completely screwed up optics that I've got right now. So I have not.
It's really good.
I've not seen
it. You guys
got to
go see it. It's a really, really good movie. They did the acting. Brad Pitt is incredible.
Well, it's his opus, right? This is his life's work.
It's pretty good.
Billy, always a complete treat.
You guys are the best.
You're going to take a picture.
Sure. I love taking
Nick
pictures.
Nick Luck's coming up right now.
Where's my man Nick Luck?
Well, wait a minute.
You keep thinking you've seen him?
No, he just walked right. He was, what the hell? Bizarre.
I don't mind being kicked off for Nick Luck. I'm actually honored.
I'm not kicking you off exactly, but.
What about Hazleton? Who do you like? Can you give one pick?
He's about to do his shtick.
Oh, you're going to do the shtick right now?
I have a shtick? Do I?
With me, I manage.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because you're a proverbially straight man, but I can get you. I usually get you going. And once we get Nick Luck here, you're going to have to stand in for Lafitte because usually it's Nick and Lafitte.
Here come a bunch of Breeders' Cup horses, Steve. I can't see that far.
A constant abuse of
one
Lafitte.
Another? Yeah.
No, strictly of Lafitte. Nick just teases him relentlessly.
Oh, I see my man Lenny Schulman's back out
Lenny
here.
Tomorrow with Haskin, by the way,
I love
for
that.
Those that are looking forward to that.
I love Lenny. Lenny's my guy.
Speaking of Hollywood, Hollywood Schulman. This is crazy. He was literally walking right back this
vision.
Way.
I can't see the numbers. 7:58.
He just said 5 minutes.
So
he must have.
Okay, minutes more.
Mark, you
should have seen Billy spin right back around,
ready to talk. LittleRedFeather.com.
Unbelievable. All right.
I love you guys. LittleRedFeather.com. Come join us. We need more owners. We're here in Southern California. We're killing it.
Well, you're not just
and we're having a great
you're
time.
Nationwide.
Yeah, we're nationwide.
You got horses in the East.
Yeah, we do. I love Michelle Nevin. Steve, you're the man. I don't know how you do this every day. I do my podcast 1 hour a week, and it's unbelievably hard. So I give you massive kudos. Scott Hazleton, you are one of the most handsome men in horse racing, and I appreciate all you do.
I appreciate that.
All right, guys, have a great day. Have a great Breeders' Cup, everybody. Enjoy.
Good luck this weekend.
Billy, you got to stay here for a second. Right here with Scotto.
Here we go.
Might as well get it with Scott. There we go. Oh, look at that. Fantastic. And you know what I can do? I can put up a whole roto graveur of Billy through the years on At the Races.
That was unexpected.
No, it was very expected.
Oh, it was expected.
Because if he doesn't get an invite, he just shows up.
Well, that's normally how the show works.
We just kind of
walk up and say, let's talk.
It does. And a lot of days that makes for wildly entertaining action. Bring everybody up to speed before Nick joins us and sits in with you. But the TVG coverage the next couple of days?
Oh, well, I mean, it's been nonstop. I mean, the team's been doing a great job with breakfast at the Breeders' Cup. That's been going since, what, last Friday? And they'll push on through to through Thursday. And then we've got race coverage starting tomorrow yet again here at Santa Anita. We got the card highlighted by the Lure. And then, obviously, we're back in the big seat part of the player show. It's wall-to-wall TVG this weekend. Player show, TVG coverage. We've got a handicappers preview show that's happening tomorrow night as well. So a lot going on and a lot of promos as well. Money back special for the Breeders' Cup races. Big sign-up offers. I mean, what you would expect from TVG around
nice.
This time of the year.
Well, and I've served a very important capacity for Matt Carruthers because Matt and Ren were having trouble. I ran into them. They're staying at the hotel.
You're babysitting.
They're babysitting. They got the baby.
No, I was saying, you're, I thought maybe you're babysitting.
Oh, I guess I could. I guess I could babysit if I had to. As Nick Luck leans
he's
in.
Just kind of here.
There we go. And they needed PPs. They couldn't. The PPs needed to be printed, the finals. And so I traveled with the printer.
I'm sure that was a massive deal. I mean, because no, there's nothing small in the Carruthers world. You know
really?
What I mean? Oh, yeah.
Are
I
they
mean,
like
they,
a, they're like a,
it's
a
like
traveling.
A, it's a Seinfeld episode slash Curb Your Enthusiasm episode when you're ever, whenever you're hanging out with Matt.
Well, she's like Lucy. First of all, she is like Lucille Ball, right?
Yes.
She's like a constant mayhem wherever Ren goes.
The best times I've had on the road have been with Matt Carruthers.